Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And before we do that, let's start with a word of prayer. Let's bow in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, how long was that? Anybody want to guess how long that was? 30 seconds. Right, that was 30 seconds. It seemed like a long 30 seconds, didn't it? So it's amazing how that 30 seconds seemed long. I thought about going for 2 minutes, you know. I'm liable to look up and everybody be gone. The service must be over. He died or something. I don't know what it is. But, you know, if I passed away standing here like that, you know, then you have to wait for the paramedics to come and all that stuff. It'd just take all day. So they'd probably just slip on out. I know how it would work. Nah. We're in such a position in our world today, in such a culture, that silence and solitude is something that's really foreign to us in many ways. We've been going through our series of The Pursuit of Holiness. We've got one more week in this next week as we deal with journaling and reading. We've based it all off of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. We've looked at all these disciplines thus far. Bible reading and Bible intake, prayer, worship, evangelism, serving, stewardship, fasting. Today we're on silence and solitude, and we're going to combine the last two for next week, journaling and learning, and how we are to be involved in these processes in our lives. But today we're talking about specifically the discipline of silence and solitude, and we see one of the examples, and we'll be making reference to this verse again, in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35 is what I wanted to look at. It says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he," meaning Christ, "went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word." Silence and solitude. What does it mean for us to experience silence and solitude? You know, for some of us, I think silence and solitude comes more natural. I'm more of an introverted kind of person, and a lot of you guys are the extroverted type of person. I am. It's a miracle of God that I'm standing before you today. I promise you that. Had you asked any of these people on that row right there 20 years ago that you see me doing this, I say, "Ha, new crazy." You must be talking about somebody else. I don't know what it is, but I am kind of keep to myself kind of person in a lot of ways, and not the most outgoing unless the Spirit of God is moving me to do so. And others have a natural inclination to be the center of attention whenever they are out in public. I think we saw some of that yesterday at the wedding rehearsal. Well, reception we went to yesterday. We had a couple visiting our church for the past couple months that had a wedding here yesterday morning, actually 11 o'clock yesterday morning, and we went over. Amari and Shannon, it was the same place that same room that your wedding reception was in over there. Now it's called the Hilton. They have upgraded because of you guys, but it turns out these guys are big karaoke fans, and they go to a karaoke club where they all sing karaoke together, and it's kind of interesting to see how shy these people were. about 50 people, you know, that they karaoke together a lot. You can tell that they do that. So they said, "Do you sing, Pastor?" I said, "Well, I don't know. How about your wife? Does she sing?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "You want a divorce anytime soon?" I said, "Oh, no. But that kind of crowd. But I really appreciate silence and solitude. I really appreciate times that I can be alone with God. It's not just because of my role here in the church. It's just there's such great benefit of spending quality time alone with God. Even though it may be foreign to us in many ways, the idea of silence, 30 seconds of silence, seems so awkward in the service here just a few moments ago. But yet we're going to have more silence as the service continues here in just a little while. But yet it's a great discipline to get a hold of. And when the time allows, and we're going to see several different ways that we can practice this discipline. And It's a great spiritual advantage for us to do these things and to practice this discipline. A couple of things that, and by way of explanation of silence and solitude, to get us started, and it's on your handout there as well, some explanations of silence and solitude. First of all, this is silence and solitude must be balanced with fellowship. Now, there may be some of you saying, well, I can handle the silence and solitude. You know, get me a cabin in the middle of the woods somewhere, and you won't see me for 35 years, and I'll be just fine. And you may be very close to God during that time, but you're not going to be accomplishing what God wants you to do as a witness to Him in the world by doing that. You've got to balance the two. Silence and solitude must be balanced with fellowship. As a matter of fact, if you are light on the silence and solitude, Whitney, who wrote the book on spiritual disciplines that I've been referring to, he says you run the risk of being shallow in your faith. If you don't spend quality time with God, he says your faith will be shallow, and I believe that's true. All these disciplines we've talked about thus far, all this can be incorporated in our time of solitude with God, our time of reading the Bible, our time of prayer. All these things can come in together. And again, it's not like these disciplines, these that we've looked at over the past several weeks are 10 different things that we need to be doing in different aspects. All of it can be incorporated together most of the time. So we need to realize that. But if we're light on silence and solitude, then we're going to be shallow. But if we're light on fellowship, we're going to be stagnant. We're not going to be able to share the love God is and what God has shown us in those quiet times with the world. And we are to make an impact on the world in which we live in. So we're not talking about just living in total isolation from the lostness of the world. You know, I enjoy it when we were doing the swarm trips every summer and just getting away with, you know, 30 or 40 church people and going up to the mountains was refreshing in itself. But yet we also had a mission while we were there to be a witness to the others that are there. So silence and solitude must be balanced with fellowship. Silence and solitude are usually found together when we see it in scriptures, and we'll look at several of those references in just a little while. When we're in a solitude place, a place of solitude, when we're by ourselves, if you're walking through the woods on one of these trails that we have around us here, a Crabtree Park is right up the street. You can go for a prayer walk up through there, and you can be alone with God in solitude, but it's also a time of silence where you just hear the sounds of nature around. But they're usually found together. They can be separate, but we had 30 seconds of silence here, and we were together. The third thing is the Western culture conditions us to be comfortable with noise and crowds, not with silence and solitude. Do you agree with that? I think it's true. It's just we're bombarded with visual stimulation, audio stimulation all the time. We have the radios in our car, and they've got to be on. We have TVs in our home, and they have to be on just for the sake of the noise. And when you get out somewhere where there is no noise, where it is quiet, it seems very awkward. But I find that to be very refreshing. But the Western culture conditions us to be comfortable with the noise and the chaos and the crowds, and not with silence and solitude. So what are we going to do then? The discipline of silence and solitude. We're going to see some valuable reasons for this, and we see them found in the scriptures, and you have them listed in your bulletin insert. The first one is this. It gives us a chance to follow Jesus' example. It gives us a chance to follow the example of Jesus. Now, I've already made reference to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It's going to come up on our list here in just a second. But over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The point is, he's heading out into a place of solitude. He's headed out to a place to be alone with his Heavenly Father. And it presents an opportunity for Satan to be bring a temptation, attempt to tempt Jesus in the wilderness. Now, if you find your place of silence and solitude, if you go out to the wilderness to spend some time with God, you can better believe it's not going to be just you and God, because Satan is going to be there to try to distract you and keep you from doing what you set your mind out to do to start with. So we need to be aware of that. But nonetheless, Jesus sets the example for us. We see it in Matthew. We see it in Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent away the multitudes, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there alone. He spent time alone. We're following the example of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, this is what I've already shared with you now. The morning had risen long before daylight. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and he prayed. Luke chapter 4, verse 42, now when it was day, he departed and went to a deserted place, and a crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. So we want Jesus with us, and if we know that he's here, we're going to go to where he is. But nonetheless, he still found himself headed to deserted places as a regular part, a regular discipline in his life. I don't know if you ever have an opportunity to do this, and I hope that you will, but it is an example. It is exemplified by Jesus throughout the Scriptures. The second one here, it helps us to hear the voice of God better. This is a good reason why we should practice this discipline, to hear the voice of God better. So sometimes there's so much stuff going on in our lives, we could not possibly hear what God is trying to tell us because we're so involved in this and this and this and this and this and this that we would never get the opportunity to be still and know that I'm God, as the song said a little while ago, but the psalmist said it much longer before that. We need to hear the voice of God. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we see the example here. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and the great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after that, it was a still small voice is where it was found. It wasn't found in all the chaos that was there. It was found in the still small voice. That's the first anniversary now of the terrible earthquake and tsunami over in Japan. They're showing video clips of it this morning on the news today. And you can just see this massive chaos occurring. But yet, even in the stillness of the moment, we can find God. Not that he couldn't be in some of these big events of life. Not that everything has to be a still. Sometimes he speaks very loudly to us and very clearly to us. But oftentimes, it's a still small voice where we get along with God to hear what he's trying to say. Here's Habakkuk, he says, and I will stand to my watch, I will set myself on the rampart and to watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. He's willing to hear the voice of God. We talked about the opportunity to pray and spend time in prayer and meditation to the Lord. But what about pausing long enough to wait for God to answer and respond to those prayers within our heart through his Holy Spirit? Will we do that? Will we listen for the voice of God? Galatians, this is Paul's testimony here. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He spent time with God. He spent time growing in God. And we need to have that time. Otherwise, as we said a little earlier, we'll find ourselves shallow. Many of us need to realize the addiction we have to noise. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you cannot sleep unless the TV is on? All right? I've heard people say that. How many can't sleep if there's not some kind of noise occurring in your house? If some of you are blessed with ringing in the ears like I got, and Robbie's had it for a while and everything like that, you don't get the silence of solitude anymore. That's one thing that's so devastating. I should have said it. Now Robbie's ears are going to be ringing the whole rest of the service, because if you got tinnitus or the ringing in the ears, sometimes you don't even hear it until somebody says something about it. Then all of a sudden, it's wild. So anyway, funny how that works. Right, Rowan? Okay, he's squealing over there too now because I said that. But we need to realize the addiction we have to noise. I know Tanya, when we ride in the car, I always have to have the radio on. If I get in the car after she's been driving it, the radio's always turned off. She says it's my only time of silence, and I really appreciate that sometimes as well. We need to think about that. Are we truly addicted to noise? We need to hear the voice of God better. We need to be willing to listen to what God has to say to us. Another advantage to this discipline is it allows us to express worship to God. It allows us to express worship to God. You know, I'm all for worship teams, and I'm all for worship bands, I'm all for piano and organ, I'm all for music in the church. But I'm also all for a cappella singing in the church. When I've told you the testimony of something that happened in Cherokee of a young Indian Cherokee Indian, singing a song before the congregation at a tent revival there in Cherokee. But even when we were down in Guatemala, just back in November, Ron and Deborah and myself, we went to a church where they sang a cappella music without all the without any instruments. They had no instruments, but they truly worshiped God, and you truly sensed that worship as it was taking place. Okay, silence can be an opportunity to worship God. Again, in Habakkuk says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. All right, so this there, Zephaniah says this, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice and has invited his guest. But to be silent before God can be an act of worship. As we get to the invitation in just a little while, we are going to have a couple of moments of silence, two whole minutes. It sounds like a long time, don't it? So two whole minutes of silence as we worship God together in just a few moments. You say, well, just be quiet now. We can do it now. But be silent in the presence of God. And once you get past the awkwardness, okay, once you get past the awkwardness, it's like God really starts to speak. I tell Tanya, and I've told others when I've gone away on little spiritual retreats before, you know, my day to get there, nothing really happens because the world has to slow down first. And the second day, I really start sensing a fellowship with God that I haven't had before. And I can talk to God. And then by the second full day, if I'm there that long, I start talking to myself. And by the third full day, I start answering myself. So it's kind of good in moderation. It works out pretty good. But that first day, if I was to leave here on a Monday and go somewhere and come back on Wednesday, Tuesday would be my prime day with the Lord, because the world has had time to slow down and I've had time to tune my heart into God. It's truly a blessing to be able to do that from time to time. It's been a long time since I've been able to do that, but it is a great blessing when that happens. Regardless of the state of your emotions, all right, no matter what you're going through, there's always a place for wordless worship. There's always a place for wordless worship. Does that sound odd? Does that sound contrary to what you've been taught? Does that sound odd to what you practice on a regular basis? Would you try it? Would you try just wordless worship to express worship to God? Also, we can express faith to God through this discipline as well, to express faith in God. It says in the Psalms, the psalmist says, truly my soul silently waits for God, for from him comes my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He goes on in 5 and 6 and says, my soul waits silently for the Lord, for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. All right. It demonstrates David's faith in God, trusting in him, knowing that his faith is where it needs to be. Our culture today is teaching us, you know, we need to go for the newest faith, the newest cult, the newest religion, the newest idea about communion with God. But yet, if Christ is indeed our rock of our salvation, then we don't have to move from place to place trying to find out what God desires in our life and what God wants for our lives and how we can truly know him. We know him through what he has provided for us in Christ Jesus already. And it expresses our faith in God. Isaiah says, thus the Holy God, the Holy One of the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. That was the desire, is that you would find the strength of God, even in the quietness and confidence, to return to him and rest for salvation. All right? It's truly expressing a genuine faith in God that allows you to rest. And these moments of silence and solitude can demonstrate that. You're saying, I don't need a lot of words to communicate with God. For he knows the very desires of our heart. He knows our utterances when we don't even know what to pray. He's there for us to know exactly what it is that we're going through. And our faith in God can be demonstrated in our silence with God. I'm not talking about ignoring God, but I'm talking about silence with God. Big difference. The simple act of silence before God, before the Lord, as opposed to coming to Him in a wordy fret, can be a demonstration of faith in Him. A wordy fret. I like that expression there, a wordy fret. How many times do you come to the Lord in a wordy fret? Well, isn't that how we're supposed to come to the Lord? Well, yeah, we can do that when we're all messed up. But when we don't know what's going on, when we're all confused and our life seems to be out of control, but yet it can be a demonstration to Him, how we come before Him. It can be a demonstration of our faith to know, God, okay, I know who You are. I know You are the Lord. You are on Your throne. And no matter what life circumstances may demonstrate, I demonstrate my faith to You by sitting in silence with You. To express faith in God. Next is to seek the salvation of the Lord. To seek the salvation of the Lord. Silence and solitude allows us to do this. To seek the salvation of the Lord. And it says over in Lamentations, it says this. It says, the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. All right? Wait for the salvation of the Lord. And this can be a couple of ways. It could be addressed to the Christian and to the non-Christian. We can wait on the salvation of the Lord. It may be someone that just needs to be quiet. Let God communicate to them about that need for salvation. I was talking about the baptism service coming up in just a couple of weeks. Maybe the Lord has been dealing with your heart. You need to give your life to Him. And it's through a quiet time that you spent with God that He reveals that to you, that you can know how you need to respond to the invitation that He has given you. So it can be to the non-Christian, but it can also be to the Christian as well. The salvation of the mess of this life. You know, sometimes as a Christian, your life does not always go the way you think it ought to go. And you have to trust in God as you live your life. And so this seeking the salvation, maybe just working through your life as a child of God, as a Christian, or even as a non-Christian. To seek the salvation of the Lord is another benefit. To be physically and spiritually restored. To be physically and spiritually restored. Restored. All right. So Mark chapter 3, verse 31 says this, and He said to them, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they not even have time to eat. All right. Our bodies need physical rest. Our bodies need physical restoration. Matter of fact, it says here, everyone has a regular need for restoring both the resources of both the inward and the outward person. How many believe that? You need that time of rejuvenation. You need that time of revival in your own life physically because your bodies are just going to wear out if you keep on going. If you don't spend time to discipline yourself to take care of your body physically, you're going to find yourself in a bad position. And spiritually, the exact same thing happens as well. Always go, 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 go. You don't have a time, a chance to really commune with God the way that He would desire to commune with you. You need that restoration and this silence and solitude. Silence and solitude can do that for you as well. It also allows us to regain a perspective, a spiritual perspective as well. Regain a spiritual perspective, and we need to be focusing on that. We need to have more goals in our life other than just building up our careers or building up a church fellowship, but we need to have a spiritual perspective of our own life and how God desires to use us in amazing ways. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day the things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. We're talking about the birth of John. John the Baptist here is what he was told. And he asked for a writing tablet after he was born, and he said, his name is John. So they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Can you imagine God telling you you're going to have a child, and you're not having a hard time accepting it? And because of that, you're not able to speak. Your perspective is not like it ought to be. But yet, it certainly adjusted his perspective here as well. So it can help us with our spiritual perspective. There's no better way to step back and get a more balanced, less worldly perspective on matters than through the discipline of silence and solitude. All right, there's no better way to step back and get a balanced perspective, okay, than to spend time quietly with God. Does that help you? I mean, when you leave here on Sunday morning, do you feel a little more balanced because you spent an hour with God or an hour and 10 minutes with God or whatever it happens to be? Does it help your perspective? After you spent time with God corporately, when you go out into the world If that 1 hour can do that for you here, just imagine what a daily practice of silence and solitude can do in your life on a regular basis as a discipline. Regain spiritual perspective. Next is to seek the will of God. To seek the will of God. All right, and we have this in Luke, and it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued to put all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and he chose 12 whom he named apostles. All right, he went away, he spent time in prayer, he came back, he named his apostles at that time. He sought the will of God, and it was discovered. God often makes his will clear to us in public. He can do that. But there are times he only discloses it in private. And how many times has God spoken to you in the quiet moments of your life? It happens. It can happen in public, but it can also happen in private. To seek the will of God. And the last one here, I think it is anyway, to learn to control the tongue. Learn to control the tongue. All right, silence can be good in controlling the tongue. All right, some of the best things ever said are things not said, right? Or something like that. So James says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If anyone among you who thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." We need to control our tongue. Silence can do that. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to tear, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. And there's a time for silence before God. There's a time for silence among everybody. You know, last week we were talking about fasting among fasting certain people. That wasn't biblical, so. there are times that we should keep silent. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in a word, he's a perfect man. He's able to bridle his whole body. But yet we all struggle in the words we have to say. All right? When you practice silence and solitude, you find that you don't need to say many things that you think you need to say. You got that? All right. I'm glad I left most of that on your sheet. When you practice silence and solitude, you find you don't need to say many things that you think you need to say. And rightfully so. How many times have you held your tongue? You almost responded to something only to find out later you were wrong, for one thing, or it just would not have helped the situation. Sometimes silence is better than the choice than words chosen poorly. All right, learn to control the tongue, the discipline of silence and solitude. Some suggestions here, and then we'll be done for silence and solitude. How can you practice these things? Well, here's one of them. You can have minute retreats. Have minute retreats. We had a 30-second retreat just a little while ago, didn't we? But you can have minute retreats where you have just a silent moments with God. That can even happen on your way to work in the morning. If you do, leave the radio off. You can have that retreat, that time alone with God. When you wake up in the morning, before you start getting ready, you can take just a moment of your time just to spend in silence with God. Just a minute at a time is all that is necessary for a minute retreat. And these can be rejuvenating, kind of like power naps you can take in the afternoon sometimes. Well, this is a spiritual power refreshment that you can encounter. Minute retreats. Anybody can do that. You can do that on your way home today from church, before you even leave. We're going to have a minute retreat. Make it a goal of daily silence and solitude. And if you're spending time already in God's Word, you have that time with silence and solitude already. You're alone with God in His Word. And so if you've already had the discipline in your life of having a daily quiet time, that's exactly what we're talking about. If you're already reading your scriptures, you're alone when you do that. You have that time of silence and solitude, which is you and God and His Word. And that can be done that way. Make it a goal daily to do these things. That way, all these other disciplines, it's not added things to do. It's a part of your spiritual being. It's a part of your spiritual DNA. It makes up who you are. And it'll make a difference in the end. Getting away for silence and solitude. Get away. Find you a quiet spot that you can go. I mentioned Lake Crabtree up here. There's some nature trails up through there. How many of you like prayer walking? Have you ever done prayer walking? You just go around and spend time with God, walking through the woods, just you, maybe with your spouse. Just go for a stroll through the woods and enjoy time talking to God out loud. People will think you're crazy if they see you doing it, but that's all right. Anyway, I had a funny thing happen. Okay, all right. I was at a psychiatrist's office last week, all right, in the waiting room talking to my phone. And the lady, other lady in the waiting room looks at me like I'm crazy. Go figure. All right. But spend time talking to the Lord. You can do it in prayer walks. You know, there's all kind of retreat centers around here. Ridgecrest is up in the mountains, and there's discounts for Baptist members of Southern Baptist churches that just want to go get away for a time of silence and solitude. Caraway has a deal as well. Ridgecrest has a place as well. So all these things happen for us in the right way. So, all right, getting away for silence and solitude. All right, special places. You know what I think? I think somebody forgot to set their clock up this morning. Is that what happened? Special places. Special places that you can go. It's same, kind of the same thing about getting alone, but you can just have a special place in your home and in your room, wherever it is you desire to go, that you can spend time with God. I've been talking with Joe, and I've talked to some other people in the church in the past. You know, there's a spot up in the steeple that would make a nice prayer room right up there inside the steeple, and you could be praying over the streets of Morrisville as you're up there. And the only problem is getting up there is the problem. So but when you get there, it's a nice room up there, but a special place designated for being alone with God. All right, and trade off daily responsibilities. Trade off daily responsibilities. All right. What did it mean by that? And the examples that was given was that maybe, all right, today you got small children. Dad, you say, I'm going to take care of the kids. Wife of mine, you go be alone with God. Go down to Jordan Lake. You can go. I go down there in the off season sometimes and pull up in one of the campgrounds and just sit at one of the picnic tables and be alone with God for a couple of hours. Trade responsibilities. Let the woman say, I'll take the kids. Husband, you go off and you do. You spend some time with God. I was talking with Luke and Becky about something they did through the Methodist Church called the walk that they did, and it works the same way. They went separate. Men go off one time, women go off another way. It's exactly what they're talking about: trading off responsibilities. When our ladies go to Women of Faith and our men go to Promise Keepers, when Promise Keepers was close by, they hadn't been by in a while. That's exactly what's happening. The lady says, "I'll take care of the family. You go to Promise Keepers and get that spiritual renewal that you need." Now that's not really solitude, but it's the same. Same principles of trading off responsibilities. It can work, and it can help, and it can help you in your spiritual journey. Would you consider making silence and solitude one of your spiritual disciplines? Would you do that? Would you seek daily time for silence and solitude? Would you desire to do that? Hopefully you are committed to reading your Bible. And you're already doing that. I hope you're committed to a time of prayer already every day. And maybe this commitment is something you've already made, but you just hadn't called it silence and solitude before. But it's a part of your life. You're used to doing this. And if you're not, would you consider doing that? It helps all these other disciplines fall into place in your life. And again, it becomes natural. It becomes a part of who you are. And then it's not a chore to do. It's just something that you just do because you know it's the right thing to do. Would you seek a daily time for silence and solitude? And would you take it even a step further? Would you seek extended time for silence and solitude? Do something a little different out of your routine every once in a while. Find you a quiet spot to go and spend an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, half a day, a whole day, maybe a couple of days alone with God and doing this evaluation and getting your perspective straight. I know it's important for all of us to think about these things and find ways that it can be done. Will you seek extended times for silence and solitude? And last one, will you start now? Will you start now?